the opportunity, the honor of preaching and teaching your word. Father, we thank you for the availability of your word. A sinful man standing before sinful people and all righteous in your sight in Christ Jesus. I thank you for that miracle. Help us now to understand that all that's required for us to be blessed is to recognize and accept your acceptance of Christ Jesus. What people do to us and what we do to people is of no consequence in your righteous sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll review just a little bit. The verse we're going to divide, God willing, is verse 11 and 12. But we're talking about Jesus on his trek to Israel, to Jerusalem, where he fulfills that was spoken of him, and he then receives a name above every name and power against in heaven and in earth and against everything. He becomes supreme. The truth becomes supreme. No baby loves here, just the truth becomes supreme. Now all the things that have to happen before the truth can reign, Jesus Christ, have to happen in you and I before the truth reigns in us. If that weren't true, then the Gospels, as well as the whole Bible, would be nothing more than a very dull history book about... See, I didn't mind history too much in geography, but at least they taught me about places that were still there. Most of these places don't even exist anymore. There's a skunk hole somewhere, or maybe a porcupine hill. We don't even know where they are. So there must be a reason why the Lord went through such great detail to outline this trek that he made. He wants to reign in your life too, but he's going to reign only when you get to Israel, which means he will rule as God. And Israel, by the way, is in Jerusalem, which means founded peaceful. No crybabies have the truth of God ruling in them. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Understand now, this is a commandment from God saying this is where you're going, how you're going, who you're going to go to, and how it's going to be. Since I have no universe of my own and neither do you, we're either going to play this way or we play alone. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. The truth does not go to those that are still of their own habits, the ethnos, those that are still caught up in their habits, their traditions, and the way they've always done things. Also not into the city of the Samaritans, those of you that hide behind words, technical, super, peri-Masons, who try to use words to hide the real feelings, and in reality the words expose the real feelings rather than hide them. These two places, Jesus said, you're not to enter. The way of the Gentiles and the city they live in. I'm surprised it doesn't say in the horse they rode in on too, but it does not, so I will not add to it. Now he tells us where the truth can't go or will not go, and now he tells us where the truth must go, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those that want the truth to rule, not emotion, not anger, not criticism, not judgment, not their appetites, but the truth. Those of you that want the truth to lead you, the message is for. Those of you that do not, good night. And as you go, verse 7, preach. It doesn't mean beg, rattle tin cups, find out what they want to hear. Preach. Saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Happiness, peace, contentment, power, eternity, salvation, change, getting rid of your habits, getting things right is as close as right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not after you learn some more, right now. And then he says, now tell them what's available, and now he tells us who to talk to, who it's available to. The sick, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. In other words, sick,
lepers who are dead and full of devils are who the truth goes to. Now he tells us in what condition the preacher or the disciple is supposed to go. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. If you remember, that meant the word worthy meant the workman is comparable or similar to his nourishment. In other words, whatever you eat will show up, either in pimples if it's physical food, or the expanding expanse of the horizon that you carry behind you. The landscape becomes more profuse. And what used to be a 5x10 snapshot becomes a mural now. See, everything you eat shows up, doesn't it? I love it when people say, well, I don't understand. I'm not eating anything. Well, lady, I'm not aware that calories are any way ingested in oxygen. Don't tell me you're not eating. I can see it as you leave. So it is obvious that what you eat shows up. Now, if that's so explicitly true in the physical, this is really saying the workman is similar to his nourishment spiritually. So basically, that's saying two things. Primarily to you, it says that whoever comes preaching whatever, watch and see how his food is affecting him. And if you don't like how it's affecting him, don't eat. I've made this example many times. In medieval times, the royalty, which is you, had an official taster. And this official taster's job was to taste the king's food, his meat, before the king did. And the king would very diligently look at his taster and say, eat, you first, please. I eat first, eat, please, first. Then the king would watch her and say, oh, sucker ain't dead yet. I guess the food's not poisoned. If it didn't kill the taster, then royalty would eat it. If it did good for the taster, then the royalty knew that it was good for them, so they would eat. You guys got this backwards. Now all you have to do is watch me. If it kills me, don't eat it. And if it's doing me good, then eat it. I don't know why you have such a difficult time with that. I don't, because I watch you and what you're eating. I don't want any. Now we go into a kind of a filler part of the scripture. This is something people pass up and misinterpret and just kind of, oh, that's nice. And into whatsoever city, verse 11, or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Oh, isn't that nice? See, we're supposed to go into a city and say, who in this town is a nice guy? Which one of you love the Lord and you are so perfect? Find out who these worthy people are and then go there with them. Isn't that nice? See how nice we're supposed to be and get along with everybody? And then he says, and when you come into their house, once you find out in the city where these worthy people are, and you come into the house, say, hi, salute it. Here I am. Isn't that nice? Shall we go on? We'll miss about two to three hours of good preaching if we do. Jesus said this, into whatever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. I'm going to tell you what it really means. First, it means whatever, wherever you go, inquire who is worthy. Inquire comes from a Greek word that means examine. I'm not going to ask you if you're all right. I said examine them to see if they're worthy. Inquire not only means to examine, it means to test thoroughly by questioning thoroughly. Oh, that's a whole lot different than saying hi. Now, when we are told to examine, that's exactly what the man means. And I'll tell you why some of you are still in the same stupid position you were in when you began. You will not let me examine you. And let me tell you why I can say that with conviction and with truth, and you will not convince me otherwise, because I know what examine means and you don't. By your own admission, you're still doing some things the same way. You have not moved. Amen. Now let me tell you what examine means. X means out. The second part of the word, agir, means to lead or to move out. Examine means to lead out. Exit, out, the way out. Exodus, let's boogie. Exhale, air out. Inhale, air in. Exhaust, can't talk about it from the pulpit. Expel, export. Examine means to get something moving. Move you out. And that's why you don't move out, because you won't let me examine you. You hide behind words. You throw out all these good words, and they sound so good. They're seeds, but when they hit the ground and they grow, they're lemons. See, it's fruit that I'm interested in, not this fine-sounding, seedy words you throw around. He said, examine them. In other words, what he really says is find out who wants out. Find out who is perfectly content with their stupid excuses and the kind of life that they're living and the results that they're living. And when you find one like that, leave them alone. Later on, we'll see you shake the dust of your feet. Basically, you know what this says? This says, going to say later on, if this preaching that you're hearing now had been preached in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. They got less than you're getting. They didn't have Jesus then. They didn't have the whole Bible. You get more than Sodom and Gomorrah got. And later on, Jesus said if this same message had been preached in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have been repented. So at the end, at the judgment, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to judge you. And they're going to say, if we had heard that, we would have changed. And you're going to say, oh, no, not me. I heard it and I wasn't moved by it. No, you weren't. You weren't moved, were you? You don't want to be examined. You don't want to be let out. You don't want to move out. That's why the examination is an exercise in futility and you hide behind words instead. So Jesus is very explicit here. This man did not want to waste my time or yours either for that matter. If you don't want out, I don't care. But I got to find out because I got to find people that do. Examine, besides leading out, also tells us in the definition how. It means to look at or into critically and methodically in order to find out the facts and the condition. In other words, I got to find out what's wrong with you before I can ask the Lord what to do about it. See, I got to go tell the Lord what's wrong with you. Oh, doesn't he already know? Yeah. But for some reason, he wants to use you as a messenger to tell him what's wrong. And for some reason, I still don't understand, he wants to use me as a messenger to tell you what to do about it. So we have to inquire or examine and find out who is worthy. Worthy means who is deserving, who's entitled or fit for this, and who's comparable to this. The word deserve means to have the right to something because of your acts or your qualities. Basically, what this said is examine the people in there and find out who, because of the way they act and because of their qualities, are deserving, and then minister to them. Well, deserving of what? Well, he told us in verse 8 what he had. He said, what I have is for the sick, dead lepers who are full of devils. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. In other words, what this basically means is find out who, by their actions and by their qualities, are sick, lepers, who are dead, full of devils. They're the ones that deserve this. They're the ones that are comparable to one. They're the ones that this message is fit for. In other words, what Jesus said is, I have nothing to say to anybody unless they're sick, lepers, who are dead, and full of devils. Well, some would say, well, God, does that mean Jesus doesn't love everybody? No, what that means is everybody's sick, lepers, dead, and full of devils. Now, to see if you deserve this and what the examination is all about, let's see if you're worthy. First of all, he said it's for the sick. Anybody that has the acts or the qualities of the sick, abide there. Abide there. Remember that word, abide, because I'm going to be abiding. Well, first, let's see if you're sick. Sick means to be feeble, impotent, and strengthless. Feeble means to be wept over and to weep. Cry babies that cry at everything because everybody cried over them. Now they have to cry over everything. Feeble. Easily broken. Very moody. Anything. Anything will do it. They're feeble. Well, why? Because they're feeble-minded. What does feeble-minded mean? Mentally retarded. See, something is happening today and they're crying according to how it happened yesterday or a week before or 28 years before, so they're mentally retarded. They don't deal with what's in front of them. They're a retard. And you can always tell the feeble-minded because besides being mentally retarded and thinking past tense, feeble-minded means having a weak will and being irresolute. Always trying to break habits and never do. Giving their word, want to do this, they can't do it. Why? Because they're feeble-minded. I'm telling you, as long as you're feeble-minded, you're not going to do it. Well, how did you become feeble-minded? Well, people wept over you and now you like to weep. And weep means not only to cry, everybody knows that, but weep means to complain by manifesting strong emotion. Now I'm asking you, how is weeping, complaining, and manifesting strong emotion going to change whatever you're crying about? The only thing it's going to do is shrink the bottom of your eyes and put a few years on your face, and that's about it. So you see, if you're sick, he says, find out how many sickies we got. And then tell them, you're worthy. I'm going to abide with you. He didn't say wait till they invite you. He said, once you find out they're sick, abide with them. So all of you that are sick, stay away from me because I'm going to abide with you. Now he says, now let's deal with the lepers. Let's find out who else is deserving and worthy of this by their acts and their qualities. Lepers means a flake, a scaly flake who peels. And we know that a flake is an eccentric, unbalanced, irrational person. But see, I have flakes all the time. I say, let's go in there and find out what the hell's wrong with you. Let's get inside and get it cleared up from the bottom. You say, oh, no, let's just peel a little off here. Oh, I'm just feeling bad today. And I say, well, tomorrow, another one, and pretty soon we got dandruff, psoriasis, and mosaicism all over the place. Because you don't want to get to the source. You just want to peel them off as they come up. And then hopefully maybe you'll be able to scale a little bit when you're alone and you peel them off by yourself. I'm not interested in picking you like a monkey. I don't want to groom you like a chimpanzee. I'm not interested in going through there and picking them. There's one. I don't want to do that. And I refuse to do that, by the way. But there's people sitting in this room just want to flake off. They don't want to get to the bottom. What is causing that dry skin, that flaking off? There's something you're taking in that's wrong. There's some internal problem. There's some respiratory problem. There's not enough oxygen getting to the tissue. There's some circulation problem. There's not enough blood getting to the tissue. Or there's some nutritional problem in that the blood that is getting there is poor in nutrition, but you're flaking off, flake. Now, you can buy Lubriderm till you're purple and Avon and all the rest. You're not going to solve the problem by putting something on top. You can loofah yourself until you lost 10 pounds and leave more than a thimbleful in the cup. It's not going to solve the problem. You can't scrape it off, friend. You can't sweat it off. I mean, you got to get inside and find out what is causing the problem, or you will be a flake forever. Well, that takes care of the lepers. Now he said, let's deal with the dead. Dead means something once vigorous but now lifeless and of no use. Something that's senseless and lacks positive qualities and unproductive. If we applied that definition diligently to this room and the people therein, most of you could qualify for instant membership in the place next door over there. Because you are senseless. You cry for nothing and everything. You get mad for nothing and everything. You're unproductive. You lack positive qualities. You think God's asleep or dead or on vacation. Maybe he went to TJ. I don't know. Where's he at? What happened? Well, see, you lack positive qualities. You might as well be dead. And then he said, cast out devils. And you understand, these are not conditions that are removed from each other. They're sequential. The sick, the feeble-minded will always end up being lepers who always end up dead because of the devils. Now, let me tell you what cast out devils mean. What does he want you to get rid of? Devils from the Greek means a demonic being who is demon-like. Well, there's one more part of the definition. Remember, it means a demonic being who is demon-like. The last part of the definition means to be of a bad nature. So to be of a bad nature, or as you put it, I'm in a bad mood, is a perfect description and definition of a demonic being. Bad nature and demonic being are synonymous from the group. Now, he said, to be of a bad nature is devilish. Bad nature means instincts, appetites, desires, and drives. In other words, those people that are not motivated by intellect, by truth, by the Word of God, they're motivated by their instincts, their appetites, their desires, and their drives. That's a demonic being. That's why you're into food and alcohol and drugs. There's a demon in there that drives you through instincts, appetites, desires, and drives. Jesus said, come, let us reason together. He doesn't use your appetites and your desires and give you a hunger for this. He appeals to you intellectually and spiritually. This nature, these instincts and appetites and desires also means the inborn character, the inborn disposition, and the inherited tendencies that you got from those people who raised you. Now do you see where you got your devils? Now, he said, now that we've got it established who's worthy, sick, feeble-minded, flaky, dead devils. Now we've examined, and now we find out that they're worthy. You certainly are entitled. These are the people that are entitled to the truth. Now, if I've lost you and you're not sick, you're not leprous, you're not dead, and you have no devils, then Jesus left you out. And he's become a respecter of persons because he says nothing here about dealing with liars. Now, he said, now that you've established in what's in this city and town who's worthy, Once you've inquired and you've examined and you find out who needs this because they are sick, they are leprous, they are dead, and they are full of devils, abide there. Oh, I like this word abide. It means to stay in a given state or relation. The relationship that you and I have is I'm right and you're wrong. You're dumb and I'm not. And your mama, by the way. Now, it also tells me stay in the given state. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I have all my needs taken care of. And you're not going to rob me of that by trying to get me to moan and groan and cry with you in the state that you're in. You can forget it. I stay. You go. You go. So stay in the given state and the given relation. And people are always trying to draw you away from your happiness by, well, if you, this happened to you, you'd feel the same way. Like hell I would. How dare you tell me that I would have a lack of faith in Jesus just because you do. Not that I didn't. And not that I didn't suffer, but I'm not willing to do it again for you or anybody else. Now the word abide takes three basic definitions, like always. It means be present, stand, and endure. Now, being present obviously refers to church. Now, to stand behind the... I'm standing. And endure is the sermon. I know, they're hard to endure, aren't they?
Amen.
I don't care. I'm present, I'm standing, and you're enduring. See, everybody's got to do their job. I had one individual... Who's a coward? Send me a message through a woman. Well, does he have a degree? Does he have the right to be doing this? What letters does he have behind his name? Does he have a PhD? No, I have Alpha and Omega. First and the last word. That's what I got, chump.
Amen.
And that's all the letters I need behind my name. In fact, that's all the letters anybody needs behind the... their name. If you've got Jesus, you got the first word and the last word. Keep that in mind. Now he said, be present, endure, but the key word here is stand. You see, I am always, as you are always, challenged to cave in. And he said, no, when you go there and you find out who's worthy, who the sick ones are, who needs this, now, Rube, you got to stand, man. You've got to stand. You cannot cave in and crack in. You must endure. Do you know what endure means? To harden the heart. Oh, you're just not sensitive. No, I'm enduring. Not endearing. I'd like to be, but I will enduring. Endure means to hold out to the last. See, y'all like it when I tell you about the Alpha. Oh, that's good. Well, see, I'm willing to hold out till the last. I want to see how Jesus works this out. See, now he told me we win, they lose. He says, now I'm telling you the first word I'm saying is we won. That's the Alpha. Now, are you willing to hold out until the last word? Oh, but you don't understand. I said I'll have the last word. Oh, but you don't know. I said I'd have the last word. Well, you see what it really boils down to. Who's going to have the last word? You or Jesus? Now, you say it ain't going to work. Was that your last word on it? Yes. Well, bye. I'm going to wait till Jesus. Everything has to work for me. There's no other way. Now, the question is it going to be my last word or the Lord's last word? Well, I'm willing to hold out to the last. Endure also means not only to harden the heart, but to put up with. Now, the only way, frankly, I can put up with you is to harden my heart. Or you'd have me weaving baskets in a week. He says you must put up with them. Endure also means tolerate them. It also means to bear them without flinching. Could I throw up once in a while, Lord? No, not even that. And here's the last part. And someone asked me today, well, how do you spend such long hours sometimes and get by on such little sleep? Endure means to hold up under fatigue. Yes, there's attempts made to wear me down just by robbing me of physical sleep and physical rest. It doesn't work. Not if you harden your heart. Not if you, the man said, abide, I abide. He says, you got to be hard. And hard means resistant to pressure. To be firm and unyielding. Not easily managed or controlled. Not easily moved. In other words, you can tell an individual who's that way because confusion doesn't move him. This is what he thinks. This is what he believes. This is the way it is. And you ain't going to move this guy. That's all there is to it. But hard also means unfeeling. I have to confess that's the hardest one of all to be hard about. But it's also where I get most of the blessings because I don't get sucked in to your feelings. And understand that this word hard, this abiding, isn't just a negative thing. It isn't just being unfeeling. There's a reason for being unfeeling. The next part of the definition means to be practical and shrewd. You cannot be practical if you go around led by your feelings. Jesus said, abide. Now he's telling me to abide, and he's telling you to abide too. He said, harden your heart. Wait for the last word. Hold out till the last. Put up with it, tolerate it, and bear up with it without flinching, and don't get sick and tired and sleepy and give in to fatigue. He said, be resistant to pressure. Be unfeeling, practical and shrewd, firm, settled and definite, reliable and stern and clearly defined and distinct, energetic and persistent. Everything that didn't happen the other night in this meeting here. Right? And I'm going to tell you why, by the way. Two reasons. First of all, the mood strikes me to do it. And secondly, I believe the Lord wants to. In this church the other night are the same people that are here now, almost without exception. Some of you have been here 6-7 years. Some of you have been here 6-7 months. But regardless of how long you were here, you did not forget what you've been taught. You didn't love the Lord any less the other night than you love him right now. He didn't love you any less that night than he loves you right now. You didn't know any less truth then than you do right now or before. God didn't try to provide for you any less than he did then. We're even in his building. I'll tell you what happened. With all your knowledge, with all you've learned, with all you've been taught, with all the tapes you had, with everything you know and the love you have for the Lord and the love the Lord has with you, without God's man to lead, you're a pathetic mess. You didn't forget. You still had the knowledge. You had no leader. Now that'll show you. See, God isn't mad. He's telling you, don't you learn? He says, the man's been preaching to you about Exodus and the children in the wilderness. You say, well, how can they be so stupid? Well, I asked you. I'll tell you how. Just think of Sunday night. That's how. No leader equals stupid. Now, ladies, please understand this. I don't care how much you love the Lord. I don't care how much you listen to the tapes. I don't care how intelligent you are. Without a leader from God, you are stupid. And that's why you sit at home and cry and moan and groan and you can't figure it out. Thou hast no leader. Now you have no leader because you chased him away, or you have no leader because he doesn't have enough sense to lead. Because he's not following himself. I don't know why, but it suffice to say you have no leader. And that's why you weren't practical and shrewd the other night. That's why nothing was firm and settled and definite. That's why nothing was clearly defined. Nothing was distinct. It was just like, what are we doing? Well, I don't know. It's silly what happened and so unnecessary, but I thank God for it. because I had just finished preaching a message on how those devils are going to lead you around by the nose without a leader, and I walked out and they grabbed you by the nose and led you. Thank God. I praise God for that. You all needed hip boots when it was over. You were in it up to your waist, man. It's obvious you got off into the swamp of life. I mean, it was high and deep. PhD. There was PhDs all over the place, piled high and deep. Now I'm going to give you the real essence of the word abide, or to be hard. And I'm going to tell you why you have difficulty with God's man to lead you. I'm going to also tell you why you hide behind words. You see, the man or woman that's always trying to tell me something, it's a facade. It's a way to protect themselves because they're so busy telling me things that there's no way to examine them. You can't ask them a question because they're always telling you things that incidentally you didn't ask anyhow. And they may be important and they may be interesting and they may be necessary for me, but they're not. It doesn't help you one bit to tell me what you know. Helps me to learn what you know, but it doesn't help you to learn what you know. What's going to help you to learn what I know? Now let me tell you the last part of the definition of the word hard or abide. And this is what Jesus said: when you find these people, abide there. And this is how I know I'm abiding. It means to be too clear, too bright, and too penetrating to be pleasant. He says, now, man, this is what you got to do. You got to be too clear, which is the opposite of what happened the other night. Too bright and too penetrating to be pleasant. In other words, I don't see any place here where I'm supposed to be your friend. Now, the first thing he tells me, says, be too clear to be pleasant. Clear means too clear, keen and logical. Clear means to be keen and logical. It means to have a sharp mind, not a pointed head. You got it wrong now. Sharp mind, not pointed head. Keen and logical. But it also means serene and calm. Well, they're strike four right now. Clear means free from confusion. Easily understood. Obvious, unmistakable, certain and positive, and free from guilt. Not free from sin. I don't qualify there. I'm free from guilt because I have confessed it and I've been forgiven. You don't even want to know what you're doing wrong, much less confess it. It says you got to be free from guilt. Search your heart daily. Search your mind. Search. Examine. Get it out. Get it confessed. I want you to be pure and righteous, and all you got to do is be honest with me. Well, Lord, I thought I had to stop this and that. You will, but not until you're honest first. See, you want to stop doing wrong by lying about it. Well, that's real intelligent. Let's get the father of lies to help us cover this, so that then we can use the father of lies to get rid of this. If that isn't confusion, I don't know what is. But besides free from guilt, clear means to be free from debt. And debt means I owe you nothing. And vice versa. And you owe each other nothing. Clear also means to handle and deal with people properly. And by the way, the Lord has dealt with me, and I'm going to do something, whether some of you may like it, some of you may not, but you're all going to understand it. I've always been an advocate, and I've always firmly believed that people can only reflect consistently what comes from the leadership. Now, I have searched very diligently. I say, where have I acted that way? As an example, and I find none. But that doesn't absolve me. I learned this evening where I made my mistake. I put some of you in positions of leadership and authority and never showed you how to do it. And that's, I'm confessing now, is where I made my mistake. So from this day forward until further notice, I am in charge of the music ministry. I'm in charge of the men's group. I'm in charge, period. Now, when I see God calling one of you men to follow the example that he's going to show you through me, I will delegate it gladly because I don't need more work. Believe me. I'd have to ask the Lord to invent the 36-hour day to do the rest of it. But I admit where I was wrong. I gave you an example of how to be a husband and a spiritual head and a father, and some of you haven't even done that, but at least I've given you the example. But I never showed you how to interact with each other in these positions of leadership. I just gave them. And for that, Brother Dennis and Brother Weldon, forgive me. I apologize. But I'll not make that mistake again. And incidentally, I'm in charge of the maintenance of this place, too. Ain't a stick going to move until it goes by me. And that's the way it's going to be until someone comes forward and says, that's the way I want to do it. God is moving me. And I'll tell you, I'll do a cartwheel. I'll jump through a hoop to turn it over. But I'm not going to do it again and make the mistake that I've made. I made a mistake. Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, I did. But you see, I'm not too stupid not to admit it. And I'm not too proud to recognize it. And I see in the sheep, they showed me where I made a mistake. And I'm here to say in front of everybody, I made the mistake. But I got it straight with the man. He told me how to do it, and that's the way it's going to be done. And it's not going to happen again, I'll guarantee you that. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
To not be pleasant?
Yes, sir.
All right, now I want to be bright enough to not be pleasant. Too bright to be pleasant. Now, I know there's people in here that want these qualities, and by God, I'm trying to show you how to get them. Amen. You need to be too bright to be pleasant. You don't know what bright means. Bright means shining with reflected light. Now, Jesus is the light, brother. And if you learn how to shine by reflecting his light, then you'd be too bright to be pleasant. See, what you're giving me is you give me this little pen light, one AAA battery that's half dead anyway, and you call that light? A constipated firefly would give me more than that. You want to shine, brother, it's going to be a reflected light or you ain't shining nothing. You go with, what's that little thing that used to fly around in the Tinkerbell thing? What was it? That little firefly thing with that little broad with the wings. Tinkerbell. Stinkerbell, Tinker. It doesn't matter. I like my one about the constipated firefly better anyway. Walking around with that silly look of pain on your face, trying to give off light. It takes no effort at all if you just stand in front of the light and just reflect it. It doesn't take any effort at all. If you would put your mug in front of the light once in a while, you'd be surprised what you could reflect. And you don't even have to do that. Just give me some eyeballs, and you'd reflect light. You'd be too bright to be pleasant. But you think it's radiated light. No, it's reflected light. You're not the source of light. You are not light. We reflect the light, Jesus Christ. And people that incidentally are too bright to be pleasant, who shine with reflected light, also live up to the rest of the definition of bright. It means lively and cheerful and happy and peppy and bursting with love. Nah, I just threw that in there. But bright means mentally quick. Trying to play verbal. Can you imagine you, a constipated firefly, trying to play mental word games with the man of God who's reflecting the light? And you turn that little half a watt bulb around, and with that pain grin on your face, you want to compete with that, with the reflected light of the living God? Are you serious? It says you're mentally quick, too quick to be pleasant. Smart and clever and witty and full of happiness and full of hope. And you're just full of it. But there's another quality here of abiding. And see, this is what the Lord says. Look, Reuben, you got to do these things. And it's not going to win you a lot of friends. And people aren't going to particularly want to see you coming. But boy, they'll be glad when you leave. That's as much Alpha and Omega as I get, child. They hate to see me coming, but boy, are they glad. Here comes Alpha. Oh, boy, there goes Omega. Isn't that great? I don't care. I don't need you. He says, now you got to be too penetrating to be pleasant. Now, this is dirty work, but somebody's got to do it. Penetrating means to be able to see into the interior. I can see beyond your leprosy and your flakes and your scales. Penetrating means to affect or to move deeply. Penetrating means to have a marked effect on the mind or the emotions. Not the mind and the emotions. Penetrating means to have a marked effect on the mind or the emotions. And those of you that don't want to think, cry. Those of you that don't want to think, means to grasp mentally and to understand. And he says you have to do all of these things to the degree that you're not pleasant. And pleasant means to please and to be agreeable with. See, my job is not to please you and not to be agreeable with you. Now, think about it. You are sick, a leper, you're dead and full of devils, and you want me to be agreeable to you? I'd be your worst enemy if I agreed that your flakes were right. I'd be your worst enemy if I told you that constipated bulb that you have there is the way to light your way. See, it's always in the back. See, your light only lights where you've been. It gives you no idea where the hell you're going. That's why you have to walk backwards like this. See, take the example from the miners. You ever see the miners with the lights on their hat? Did you ever see them strap it on their butt and walk around? They don't care where they've been. They want to know where they're going. So where is the light? Right where it ought to be. Oh, you fireflies of light, be gone in Jesus' name. Man, the Tinkerbells of Disney World, we got to get rid of these things. They're not doing you any good. He says you got to do too much of this to please them. Please means to make calm and to soothe and to be agreeable to. God help you if you ever end up cursed in a church or in a marriage relationship where someone has the audacity to tell you that you're right. That ought to tell you right then and there that's from the pit of hell, because you know you. You ought to thank God that someone loves you enough to send someone who doesn't give a damn about you enough to tell you the truth and not care at all about your snooty, constipated looks. Now he says you got to abide to the point that you're too much to be pleasant, too much to please. You know what please means? The real final essence of the word?
pleasure and please means your own will, your own wish, and your own choice. And think about it. Before you came to this church, you have been doing your will, your wish, and your choice. And that's why you came to church, because your will, your wish, and your choice was doing nothing for you but ruining your life. Amen. That's why you came. Now I'm going to quit with one little quick little scripture verse here. Verse 12, very short verse. And when you come into an house, say, howdy. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, it says saluted. I wonder what salute means. Well, from the Greek, it means to enfold in the arms and embrace. And some would say, oh, that means he's supposed to hug us. Not done yet. To enfold in the arms and to embrace in order to draw something out. In other words, squeeze your pimples, if you will. And that what happens? You put pressure this way, and you enfold it, you encircle it until squish. Right? He says, now some people are going to have to be pressured into this. Now, it doesn't mean, howdy, oh, I love you so much in the Lord. Yes, I love you in the Lord, and we got to get that out, and I got to put pressure. That's what it means. Embrace, enfold in the arms in order to draw something out. In other words, squeeze the pimple. I don't care about the Charmin, by the way. Squeeze it or don't squeeze it. It's the pimple I'm... And I'm going to tell you in a minute why I'm interested in these pimples of life. He said, when he said salute, he means embrace it. When you get to those sickies, those leprous, sick, dead people full of devils, embrace them, enfold them, hold on to them in order to draw something out. But the word embrace also means to accept readily, which is something you don't do for one another. If you knew about each other what I know about you, I could justify shooting you on sight. With the little bit you know about each other, you just about have shot each other. God, and no wonder God won't tell you the truth about each other. Yeah. My God in heaven, you guys would have, there'd have been blood and carnage all over this place Sunday night. So embrace means to accept readily, but it also means to adopt seriously and eagerly. I didn't teach you men how to take your job seriously and eagerly. I didn't teach you how it could be such a blessing. Not that I didn't tell you. But I didn't do it first to show you, hey, this is a piece of cake. So he says, adopt it seriously and eagerly. Embrace also means to include. I personally do not like cliques. I don't like situations where someone is excluded for whatever reason. Because if you're going to tell me what they did wrong to you, booby, just... do it once and I'll tell you what you've done, and you know I know what you've done. And if it's justified for you to exclude them, then why isn't it justified for me to exclude you? I'll tell you why, because I'm embracing you to the point of drawing out the pus. Got to break the pimples. Now this word draw out, we enfold and we embrace in order to draw out. And draw out means to get a person to answer and talk. You draw someone out by getting them to talk, not by shutting them up. Draw or draw out means to attract, to bring forth. Do you know what else draw means? To cause a flow of blood or pus. That's my job. This is what this is all about. I've got to bring out one of two things, and I don't care which one it is, but one of them's coming out. Amen. Blood or pus. Now, I'm going to be a little graphic here, and if you don't like it, that's too bad. Find another church. Blood means, is another way of saying cycles. That monthly thing that's indicative of doing something over and over and over again. He says, draw that out of them. Show them that it's a cyclical thing. Or pus. And we'll find out in a minute what that means. In other words, what this really is saying is, puss them off. Right? And people do get pussed off at me all the time.
That's right.
I don't care. That's good, Lord. He's smart, you know that? A sense of, what a mind. He's got a mind like a steel trap.
That's right.
Get him, Rube. Puss him off. Yes, sir. And you know what happens? You will either explode or implode. That happens to everybody. You say, well, what does he think? I don't know. I'm not, that's not me. You're imploding all over the place. Boom, 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 inside. And then some of you are smart enough to say, well, I think you're wrong. And they explode outside. I say, thank you, Lord. Who are you? You God or the devil? Which one are you? You see, I can handle that. Explode all over the place. I don't care. It's those of you that implode. Those are the ones that are, see, this, you got to get pissed off. I don't know how else to put it. Now, let me tell you the last part of this definition of drawing out, and you'll see the importance of it and why you're not healed yet. You won't let me examine you in order to draw you out, to abide with you, to salute you. Salute doesn't mean, oh, that's good. That's not what salute means. This word draw out or salute means to take out the viscera of. See, you are suffering from being over-viscerated. And I got to take that out of you. That's what this whole thing is about, to take away or take out the viscera. Now, viscera comes from the word visceral. And visceral means the effects of the viscera. And what is the effects of the viscera? What is it that I got to take out of you? The viscera, the visceral. And visceral means intuitive, instinctive, and emotional rather than intellectual. That's what's killing you. I'm appealing to the intellect, and you repeal it by appealing to the intuitive, the instinctive, and the emotional. He said, this is what we have to draw out. Here's the pus. I'm not going to tell you why you're pussed off. I'm not going to tell you now what has to come out. First of all, your intuition. Intuition or intuitive means the belief that one knows or learns something without conscious reasoning. See, there's charismatics in here, you don't even know it. You think you can learn something without running it through your mind, like it just goes through your body and you get some kind of, you know, Tinkerbell kind of flash, and they do. They flitter all over the place giving their little flashes, and then when they leave the church, they're all dragging out there. Well, what is the problem? They're intuitive. They think that God can teach them without the use of reasoning. These preachers come to church and they get the Bible and say, well, the Lord, Holy Spirit's going to lead us now. They throw the Bible up and then wherever it lands, there's where God wants me to preach from. I say, well, isn't that silly? Well, how do you read your Bible? Yeah. Oh, yes, I know that's what it means for my husband. See, you do it the same way. You might as well use a dartboard. Use some reasoning here. Get rid of your intuition. Intuitive or intuition means the supposed ability to perceive or know things without conscious reasoning. Like people say, well, I know. I say, well, how do you know? Give me a reason. Well, I just know. I know I've got an intuitive, visceral individual that needs to be saluted. I got to puss them off. I know that. See, the minute you do that, I know what the problem is. And then those of you that don't rely on the intuition instinctively or primarily, you rely on the instinct. Instinctive or instinct means the inborn tendency to behave in a way characteristic of the species to which you belong. In other words, you act just like your dad and mom. Depending on that, in other words, you got to get rid of that. to draw out or to remove, take out the viscera means get you off of this intuitive, instinctive kick that you're on. And the last part of the viscera means the emotion. Now here's the killer. Intuition, instinct, backed by emotion. Now I have just described every woman on the face of this planet, whether you're a male or not. Emotion means the complex reactions with both mental and physical manifestations as love and hate, fear and anger. It means, emotion means quick to weep, quick to be angry, quick to love, quick to hate, quick to fear, just quick. What's the one about the candlestick? Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick. See, you're instinctive, you're emotional. First of all, you're intuitive. Oh, I dreamt last night that such and such, and then right away you think that means something. No, you know what that means? That means you ate at the Mexican phone company last night. That's what it means. It means you pigged out at the Mexican phone company. Well, what's a Mexican phone company? Taco Bell. I like that one too, see. I told Karen Musty the other night, some weeks ago, I said, let's go eat at the Mexican phone. What are you talking? Let's go eat at the Mexican phone company. I pulled up to Taco Bell. If they finally got it. It took a while, but they got it. You see, this desire to be quick to weep, quick to be angry, quick to love, quick to hate, quick to fear, quick, 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 is because you're instinctive. There's no reasoning. See, when it comes time to react, you are not trained to go to the intellect and say, is this a good idea? Do I have a reason for that? No, the fact that you have a calling, a desire, something, you just immediately do something quick. It doesn't matter. Well, why are you so quick to hate me? Well, I was quick to love you that last time, and that didn't work, so now I'll hate you. Well, that doesn't make any sense. There's absolutely no intellect. And some people with audacity, and of course with flowery words, will say, well, the last time I did that, and he didn't, and he wasn't nice to me. Oh, so this time you were quick to love, without reasoning, without thinking, without any rational thought, and because you didn't get the response you want, now you're quick to hate. Listen, this child has some stuffed animals at home that think more clearly than that. In fact, we got a rat that runs around in a cage that shows more sense than that. Hamilton the hamster. But you see, to sum this up, what the Lord is really saying here, unless you are willing to be examined, inquired into, and led out, you're going nowhere. Because that examination implicit is establishing, do you need and do you deserve and are you comparable to the sick, the leprous, the dead, and the ones that are full of devils? Because you got to understand this. That's all Jesus sent me to minister to. That's all Jesus came to minister. And he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody needs his help. But see, he also said, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So you see, my first job is to convince you that you're sick. And sometimes because you're not willing to admit and to receive the truth, and when I tell you, you are a confused mess, and without a man of God to lead you, whether it's your husband at home or your pastor at church, I don't care how much you learn, I don't care how much you read, I don't care how much you love the Lord, I don't care how much, you are not going to succeed without a shepherd. Nah. So then I walked out the door, and we had Disneyland there for about an hour, didn't we? Goofy was here. Pluto made his entrance too. I know Dopey was here for quite a while, too. And there for a while, Doc was in charge, wasn't he? See, Doc always starts out in charge. He always thinks he knows everything. Oh, but by the time it's over, there's Sneezy shows up. And see, you can't understand Sneezy, see? He makes no sense. And then there's Grumpy. Grumpy's neat, you know? He's a neat dude. See, I like Grumpy because Grumpy does not try to make any errors. I mean, he just doesn't care who knows he's Grumpy. And he can't hide it. He could care less. I mean, he just makes no... And then, of course, what was wrong with all of you as dwarfs? Everybody wanted to be Snow White. Who's the fairest in the land? Well, you are, of course. Who's the smartest in the land? Well, we all know you are. Who's the most intelligent? Well, you. Who's you? Oh, you. You, you, you. I mean, see, you have a Snow White mentality. And then as far as doing your work, we got a lot of Snow Whites in here, see? The prince goes off to work and you go to bed. And you ain't waking up till he comes home and kisses you, right? Why? Because you got all these dopey little dwarfs running around. And remember in the movie? Well, the birds used to fly in the window and pick up the tablecloth and take it outside and shake it. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Remember? And the squirrels used to come in. And what was Snow White doing? I'm wishing. Snow White, let's get serious here. Try working. Too much wishing and not enough working going on here. And then for all these dopey dwarfs, which is really the composite, you know those dwarfs are the composite of most men? Amen. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. And look where they go. They go work in a hole in the ground. And what do they bring back? Diamonds and jewelry in a store within 8 zillion miles. What are they going to do with all this? Where do they get the... Well, the robins bring it in. Well, then why do we have to hi-ho, hi-ho to go get diamonds? Ain't no place to spend them anyway. See, none of that story made any sense. But it's indicative of you chase things that you can't use anyway. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Instead, you go work in the hole in the ground trying to get the things that you can't use anyway, and God wanted to give you things you could use. But no, 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 you have to hi-ho your way through life, don't you? Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work. And Doc always leads that profession. Always, always leads that one. And then there's this dopey, this happy guy. I liked Happy, see? Happy doesn't know, see? Happy doesn't even care. See, he's just there, and you slap him. He doesn't know. He's just happy. See, Happy is a drug addict. See, Happy don't know. Happy don't care. Happy just happy, that's all. We go on the hole in the ground, I'm happy. We coming home, I'm happy. We ain't going, I'm still happy. The wicked witch, I'm happy. Well, see, this person has no intellect, no awareness. He's just happy. He's high, he's stupid. Now, dopey, on the other hand, is starting to come off the high, see. Dopey is, he's not high enough to be happy anymore, but he's not sober enough to be sensible, so he's dopey. And then as soon as he finishes coming off his drug, whether it's food or whatever, what do we have? Grumpy. See, these are personalities that are inborn in us guys. And if you don't understand, see, Walt Disney thought he was, oh, what a cute story. Everything testifies of God. You give me the story, you give me the book, and I'll show you Jesus Christ. I don't care where you are. I don't care what story. Three Pigs, Snow White, Tinkerbell, The Wizard of Oz. I don't care. And incidentally, some people here were on the yellow brick road Sunday night. There are people in this room were looking for heart, weren't they? Courage. You had an agenda in your mind, but you didn't have the courage to speak it. You're a liar and a hypocrite and a coward, and you thought the Wizard of Oz was going to give you heart. And there are some of you were looking for a brain. Right? Don't tell me different. I know what went on here. Yes, see, it amazes me where people will come and make a proposal and then argue against the proposal that they made and say, this wasn't made right. Well, I know it wasn't made right, but do you remember who made it? Oh, yes, now I know why. Amen. See, that doesn't make any sense. See, you needed to get Tootie and Toadie and what was that? Toto and Tootie. What was the broad's name? The girl's name? Dorothy. See, you needed Tootie and all of those people. And see, you're looking for the wizard. You're looking for some magical way. And see, they were looking and said, oh, well, now, I know how we can get heart and courage. And what did the other dummy want? One wanted heart, one wanted courage, and the other wanted brain. No, heart and brain and courage. Okay. And now what did these idiots need to try to find the Wizard of Oz? The supreme being. What did they need? A woman. And a little one at that, led by a dog with funny shoes on. Looking for a yellow brick road. And they just fall and said, well, if Dorothy can find it for us, well, then we can find a heart. See, I love you. You're so funny, you know? Amen. And see, we can find, and Jesus isn't mad at it. He's saying, look how silly you're being. And then he says, now, Ruby says, they don't want to get it out of here. They're too intelligent for that. Let's punch it up to their level. See, you're so smart. See, and he says, now the Bible just doesn't tax their intellect. They're so smart. Let's talk about Snow White and Dopey and Tootie and Toadie and Dopey and Happy and Bursting with Love. He says, now we're at their level. Now, see, now you all perked up. You all understand it now, don't you? You all say, oh, yeah, that was me, all right. Yeah, that was, see? And you thought you were so smart. Well, listen, if this is still too hard for you, I'm going to ask the Lord, Sunday, Lord, let's make it closer to their intellect. See, God wants to treat you like men and women, but I think tonight he had to treat you like kids, didn't he? And not because it was desirable, but because it was necessary. He's not willing to lose you under any circumstances, and neither am I, by the way. So my prayer is that I was too clear, too bright, and too penetrating to be pleasant. Amen. And if that's the case, my job is done. Brother Dennis, would you close the service in prayer?